Welcome to God and Country Radio, a weekend program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. On September 10th, there was the debate between former President Trump and Vice President Harris. And although this is already old news, there needs to be a debriefing. Christians should be able to discern the lies, the obfuscations, the misdirections, and all of the spins without all of the political bias. Now, what's amazing is that those who support the Republican policy platform are saying Harris lied 30, 40, 50 times, and Trump always told the truth. While those who support the Democrat policy platform are saying that Trump continually lied, and Kamala always told the truth. Here's a CNN response to the debate. Quote, Trump again delivered a staggering quantity and variety of false claims, some of which were egregious lies about topics including abortion, immigration, and the economy. Harris was far more accurate than Trump. CNN's preliminary count found just one false claim from President Harris. Unbelievable, isn't it? So if you don't get anything else from the debate, be amazed that a person's worldview determines who they believe is telling a lie and who they believe is telling the truth. People are not objective. And really, people can't be objective given the fact that they either have God or self as the source of authority. Determining right and wrong will change based upon one source of authority. And of course, this is how it works in the spiritual realm. A person's prior worldview, chosen on the base of their own moral choice, determines whether one believes the words of Satan or believes the words of God. In Jesus' day, whether one saw Jesus as a Messiah or whether one saw him as a fraud, all depended upon one's worldview, one's chosen source of authority. As Jesus said to unbelievers, you do not believe because you do not have God's word abiding in you. John 5:38. For example, those who value their own autonomy first will believe abortion is morally right. Like Kamala Harris said in the debate, to tell a woman she can't have an abortion is immoral. But those who put the life of others above themselves and above their convenience, and who believe only God has the authority over life, thou shalt not murder, will believe abortion is morally wrong. So it all depends on one's core beliefs concerning one's source of authority. Who is God? Another example, those who believe people should be allowed to follow whatever desires they have in their heart will believe promoting LGBTQ is promoting morality. But those who believe people's desires can be sinful and perverted, and who believe standards of behavior should not be based upon our desires but the moral law of God, they believe society must reject LGBTQ sexual deviance. It's immoral. So what was really going on in the debate was two worldviews in conflict. So it was like an elementary school fight. You're a liar. No, you're a liar. And I said it first. Neither candidate was the adult in the room explaining the core worldview difference. Three times Kamala said of Trump, you're going to hear a bunch of lies coming from this fellow. Well, they were lies for her, but were they really lies? When Trump said that the courts didn't address the election fraud because the judges claimed Trump didn't have a standing, is that a lie? When Trump blamed the increase of crime on immigration, was that a lie? When Trump said that Harris was the border czar, was that a lie? Well, according to CNN, those were all lies. Yet there's factual data supporting Trump's claims. But that's not the way CNN interprets the data. It's all a matter of perspective, perception, emphasis, the way people see the world. For example, Trump spoke about Harris as being for abortion up to and even after the moment of birth if the child ends up being alive after an unsuccessful abortion. Trump described it as execution, and Trump referenced the former governor of Virginia saying, quote, he said the baby will be born and we'll decide what to do with the baby. In other words, we'll execute the baby. So Trump continued in a mangled explanation, and the moderator, Lindsay Davis, interjected, there is no state in this country where it's legal to kill a baby after it's born. Well, first of all, it's obvious that Trump was speaking about babies born in botched abortions, not all babies. And second, it is legal to withhold aid and hence kill a baby that is born in an abortion procedure in three states, New York, Illinois, and Minnesota. In fact, it was Harris's own running mate, Governor Walz, who removed the legal protections previously in place for babies born in abortion. But here's the point. The left and the moderator saw Trump as lying because they misrepresented what he was referring to. If they were appalled and disgusted by abortion, they wouldn't have heard what Trump said the way they heard it. But because the left supports abortion, they read into Trump's statements. And the whole debate was like this. What was considered a lie and what was considered the truth all depended upon political ideology. The Old Testament biblical prophets would often condemn the religious and political leaders for telling lies. Jeremiah 9:3, they bend their tongue like bows. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Isaiah 59:3, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken falsehood, your tongues mutter wickedness. No one sues righteously, and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Isaiah 59, transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the streets, and uprightness cannot enter. But when the prophets were speaking about the lies, they were mainly referring to worldview lies, not individual falsehoods like, I didn't spend that money in such and such a way, or I didn't say such and such, although those lies were certainly part of the mix. The lies the prophets were primarily referring to were lies such as Babylon will not invade Israel, or the temple will never be destroyed, or the temple worship in Jerusalem is the true religion, and Baal worship is just another name for Yahweh worship. Jeremiah 2:35 describes the lies. They were saying, I'm innocent of shedding innocent blood. The lies were false ideology, just like the system of Marxism or feminism or pro-abortion or queer theory. And these were lies you couldn't simply fact check, but lies based upon one's view of what is right and wrong. And all of those other factual lies were simply ways to support the bigger worldview lie. And really, the way the data was interpreted was based on those bigger worldview lies. Now, in the debate, the moderators violated the terms of the debate and interjected their own opinions and fact-checking, at least four times against Trump and never once against Kamala Harris. So that Trump was not only debating Kamala Harris, but Lindsay Davis and David Muir. Now, it'd be one thing if their fact-checking was correct, but every single one of their fact-checks were proven to be wrong. They lied as much as Kamala. The first fact-check, as I pointed out, Lindsay Davis claimed there is no state in the country where it's legal to kill a baby after it's born. And that's false. In botched abortions, it's legal in three states. The second fact check was Trump's statement that 20,000 Haitian immigrants had been shipped into Springfield, Ohio, and they were eating people's dogs and cats. They're eating the pets. Now, this was a new story that just broke out the day before, and most people didn't know about it, so Trump should not have even mentioned it. And I'll get around to Trump's mistakes later. But David Muir responded, I just want to clarify here, You bring up Springfield, Ohio, and ABC did contact the city manager there. He told us they had no credible reports of pets or specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals in the immigrant community. So Muir is quoting one government person and ignoring all of the public testimony. So in this, Muir is not fact-checking, but trying to prove Trump wrong by quoting one person. And Trump did a good job in correcting Muir by pointing out that, of course, this is what the city manager is going to say to cover himself. So instead, we need to listen to the people. The third fact check. Trump said crime was up. David Muir interjected. President Trump, as you know, the FBI says that overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country. So now again, Trump has to debate David Muir and explain to him it's been widely reported, and we all know this, it's been uncovered that the FBI report was deliberately made to be misleading because the crime rates of 30 cities were not included in the report. All other legitimate reports have crime rates up. The fourth fact check. After Trump said there is so much proof that he did not legitimately lose to President Joe Biden in the 2020 election, Muir responded, "We should just point out here as clarification, 60 cases in front of many judges, many of them Republicans, looked at it and said, there is no widespread fraud." And this is a talking point Kamala Harris and the Democrats have used. And Muir took her side and said it for her. Trump had to correct Muir. These judges actually did not rule in any legal sense that there was no widespread fraud. They simply threw the cases out, mostly on the pretext that Trump did not have legal standing. So those were the major fact checks. There are plenty of other biased comments from the moderators. The moderator, Lindsay Davis, later admitted that ABC planned to fact check Trump because, quote, they did not want a repeat of what happened in the last debate, where Trump was given free rein and the moderators limited themselves to asking questions and enforcing the time limits. Unquote. But as we see for these Democrat moderators, the legitimacy of Trump's statements were determined by their own ideology. So I listened to the debate and then read the transcript of the debate. And the amazing thing is that if you read the transcript, Trump won the debate. But if you listen to the debate, the tone and the presentation make it seem as if Kamala won the debate. And it's just really amazing how our perceptions are influenced by aspects that are emotional more than the facts. Anyway, I underlined at least 40 Kamala Harris lies. And under each of these, there are many subsetting of lies. But here they are. And as I go through them, ask yourself, what is really going on in these statements? Lie number one. I'm actually the only person on stage that has a plan. Which is really a ridiculous comment. Because of course Trump has a plan. She may not like the plan, but he has a plan. Go onto his website. It's called Agenda 47. Number two, Trump's sales tax would be 20%. Well, Trump doesn't plan to have a sales tax. She's mischaracterizing and lying about his plan for tariffs, making it seem like it's going to be a sales tax, a tax on the American people, rather than a boom for American industry. Number three, Trump makes middle-class people pay for tax cuts for billionaires. Well, in his term, Trump actually cut taxes for the middle class. Number four, Donald Trump left us the worst public health crisis in a century. As if Donald Trump was responsible for COVID, she's misrepresented the situation to blame Trump for COVID. Number five, Trump has the playbook of lies and grievances. It's well known that the Democrat Party is known for being the party of grievances. Number six, Trump has a plan called 2025, and that has been debunked even by the left. Number seven, his economic plan is all about tax breaks for the richest people. Again, false. Trump lowered the tax bracket for the middle class. Number eight, Trump has more interest in defending himself than he has in looking out after you. Well, how does she know his motives? I'll discuss that in a moment. Number 9, Trump ended up selling American chips to China. That's false. Number 11, Trump should not tell women what to do with their body. That's a lie. Trump is not telling women what they ought to do with their body. He's telling them what they ought to do with the baby's body. Number 12, under Trump, pregnant women suffering a miscarriage will be denied care. Number 13, Trump will sign a national abortion ban. Trump has already denied that claim. Number 14, Trump has denied IVF treatments, which is false. Number 15, Harris said, I'm the only person on stage who has prosecuted transnational criminal organizations. However, Trump enforced and passed such legislation. Number 16, Donald Trump got on the phone to call up folks in Congress to kill the Democrat border bill. That was a rumor on the left. It was never proven to be a fact. Number 17, he prefers to run on problems instead of fixing problems. That's not true. He does want the problem of illegal immigration fixed. Number 18, at his rallies, you will not hear him talk about your needs and your dreams. I've been to his rallies. I've heard him talk about my needs and my dreams. Number 19, Trump was prosecuted for national security crimes. Not true. He was prosecuted with made-up charges by his political opponents. Number 20, the Supreme Court ruled that Trump is immune from any misconduct. That was not the Supreme Court ruling. Number 21, Trump wants to terminate the Constitution of the United States. Lie number 22, Trump would weaponize the Department of Justice against his political enemies, which is actually a strange accusation to make given the fact that it's well reported that this is what the Democrats have been doing against Trump for the last 8 years. It is actually a political strategy and a technique to accuse your opponent of doing what you are in fact doing. It muddies the waters, it deflects accusations, it confuses the public. Line number 23, I made it clear in 2020 that I will not ban fracking. Even CNN pointed out that this is false. She never said that back in 2020, and she's on record as saying that she will ban fracking. Number 24, Trump was handed $400 million on a silver platter, which is not what he inherited from his father. Kamala is just quoting leftist opinion pieces. Number 25, the President of the United States incited a violent mob to attack our nation's capital, but nothing Trump said incited violence. This was the individual bad behavior of a few bad actors. Even as the Democrats have a few bad actors, the Times Republican said that the Democrats incited the riots in the summer of 2020. The Democrats were even offended by the suggestion, since they never said, go out and riot in the streets. Kamala repeated the lie that President Trump said that the Charlottesville mob were fine people, when in fact, in the very next second, Trump said that he was not talking about the Charlottesville mob. Number 27, then Kamala repeated the lie that Trump said the election will be a bloodbath, when it was clear that Trump was actually talking about the demise of the auto industry. Just like the leftist media, Kamala selectively misquotes Trump to paint a negative picture of Trump. But I believe what we're seeing in this is that since these people so believe that Trump is evil, they assume that this is what he must have meant by those words. They superimpose their own beliefs on Trump. Trump's actual words are interpreted through their bias. Line number 28, world leaders laugh at Trump. Really? Anyone can say that about any president. Which world leaders? Line number 29, Trump exchanged love letters with Kim Jong-un. Number 30, Trump said of Putin he can do whatever he wants. Number 31, dictators and autocrats are rooting for Trump. Number 32, they can manipulate Trump with flattery and favors. 33, Trump is consistently weak on national security. Number 34, Trump would settle the war in Ukraine by surrendering. Number 35, dictators would eat Trump for lunch. Number 36, Trump invited the Taliban to talks because he does not appreciate the role and responsibility of the presidency. Number 37, Trump left them with a terrible deal, and that's why they had to leave Afghanistan as they did. Number 38, Trump uses race to divide America. Number 39, I bring a sense of optimism about what we can do instead of always disparaging the American people. Line number 40, extreme weather events prove that there is climate change, when in fact, that's a false talking point. There have been less extreme weather events over the last 10, 15, 25 years. So let's stop here. What do you see here as the bigger issue behind all of these falsehoods? Well, it's not so much about facts, but ideology, worldview, moral perceptions concerning what is right and wrong. The same falsehoods could be said against the Democrats. They divide, they use race to divide, they root for dictators, and Democrats would deny every charge. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 12, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Now, concerning Donald Trump, we again see in this debate that yes, Trump has a conservative stance on the issues, but he's not the best communicator. Tulsi Gabbard and Congressman Matt Gaetz were supposed to have prepared Trump for the debate, and either they did a poor job or Trump just ignored the advice. So in short, the debate performance was a matter of wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 17, the words of the wise, heard in quietness, are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Now for me, the debate was just another reminder that Donald Trump is not the perfect candidate. And we all knew this. I hope you knew this. But it's all we have right now to represent the conservative side. And I fully expect to be disappointed with Trump, whether he wins or loses, just like the same way that even all of the good kings of Israel disappointed at some point. God's people were disappointed with King David, with King Jehoshaphat, with King Josiah. None were perfect in their administrations. They all had some bad policies. They all misspoke. They all fully didn't follow the law of God. Hence, we're told in Scripture, Psalm 146:3, do not trust in princes, in mortal men in whom there is no salvation. Psalm 118, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Isaiah chapter 2, stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed? Psalm 62:9, men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. Donald Trump has feet of clay. Only God is our Savior. Now, as far as debate results, it's not really who performs better, but who moves the public. Trump had enough warnings in the debate that the current Biden-Harris policy in using Ukraine as a proxy to go to war with Russia could result in World War III. And fear drives elections. Fear of war, fear of economic collapse, fear of crime. And really, there's no way to predict the outcome of this election in November, regardless of the polls, because economic changes, war, domestic threats could change everything. And who knows what the general mood of the country will be next month? You know, it's just amazing how a certain mood can fall over a country. And that mood determines elections. And that's how God works in setting up who will be the next president. Psalm 75, not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation. But God is the judge. He puts down one and he exalts the other. So that was a brief overview of the debate. For the extended video version of this program on YouTube and Rumble, check out my channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. The website to get all of the links is godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Stay in the Word. And may Jesus Christ reign.